Good morning.
It's good to be with you. We missed the hugging, though. We'll have to do that after. We usually share the peace with each other, and we'll do that after. How's that? You hug a lot around here. Well, welcome to you, those of you who don't know me. I am honored to be the pastoral intern here at Radiant. I'm in my third year of seminary. Who would have ever believed it? Not something I would have chosen, but when it's God's call, you do it. And I'm honored to bring you the Word of God today. And so, we're going to continue on in our study of Luke. And before we read Scripture, I have some questions for you. Who in your life would you say has your back? Someone who believes in you just for being you. Someone who knows all your stuff and loves you anyway. It might be someone who knows you better than you know you. Is there a group of people you have in your life that has your back? Hold you accountable to be the best you, the you that God created you to be? Someone or someone's who will encourage you and push you to more faith, bring you to the feet of Jesus, and knows your potential and sticks with you through thick and thin. Maybe you need someone like that. Maybe you are a lone ranger. You think you can do it all alone. Maybe you're like Popeye. He said, all that I am, I am who I am. Wherever you are, whatever place you are in life, today's message is for you, and it's for me. We're continuing in our study of Luke, and we will encounter three groups of people. One group brought their friend to Jesus for restoration, wholeness, and physical healing. They had his back. We're going to continue from last week in Luke 5, we're going to start at verse 15, because that leads us into our scripture for today, which is verses 17 through 26. If you have your Bibles open, you can follow along with me. 728 in the chair Bible. I was going to say pew Bible, but we have a different pew here at Radiant. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sickness. So the crowds had been gathering around Jesus in this town of Galilee and all the surrounding areas. And they were flocking to see him and to hear. He had a different message than the message of the day. And in 17 through 19 now, it says, one day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Would you say that they had his back? Well, in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus had returned to Capernaum. And Jesus spent a lot of time in Capernaum. That was a city in Galilee. And if this was going to be like a Bible study or a teaching, I would have something up on the slide that showed you Capernaum and all that. But we're not going to do that today. Maybe another time. Well, the crowds had gathered into the courtyard of this house, which was a one-story home with a huge courtyard. And it was the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were part of that group. But you notice what it said is that they were sitting there while the rest of the crowd was pushing in to Jesus. There was no room. You can imagine, like, this room would be full and nobody could get in. We'd only be like shoulder to shoulder. Now, the Pharisees, I imagine them, this is how I imagine, this is my imagination. I imagine them sitting there with their arms crossed like this. Like, yeah, bet me. You know, they had that heart attitude, criticalness. And they came from every village of Galilee, it says, and Judea and Jerusalem. Well, the Pharisees were members of the Jewish sect. They had strict adherence to the written law. And the teachers of the law were experts in Jewish legalism. Now, to me, it seems like they would have been eager to hear about the power of God that was happening. But yet, they came with criticism and judgment. Their minds were closed because they had in their mind that the kingdom of God was going to come a certain way, only their way. They were bent on preserving something that was authorized, that they were leading the people to. They wanted to keep status quo. So this is kind of the setting that we're in. So you have all these other people pressing in and wanting to hear what Jesus was saying. He was teaching. And then you have this other part that is there critical and judging. And it's important to note here, too, is that it says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Do you know, I felt the huge presence of the Lord here today. The minute I walked in, it was just overwhelming. Happens a lot here at Radiant, just because of who God has made us to be together as a community. Well, now the third group of people, so the first group was the crowd. The second group were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The third group were, what it says, some men. They tried to bring Jesus through the crowd, and they couldn't do it. This man was a paralyzed man who could only get around on a mat, his friends carrying him. But guess what? They didn't give up. They were persistent. They didn't become discouraged. They saw something more in him than he probably saw in himself. And they believed that Jesus could make a difference, not only in their friend's life, but in their life. They believed that Jesus could make their friend whole. So in this section, there's three groups of people with three attitudes toward Jesus. The crowd had expectation and hope. How many times do you come to worship with expectation and hope? Or come to the Word with expectation and hope? Pharisees, they were judgmental, critical, and hard-hearted. And the friends would not give up. They were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. I'm honored to say that I have someone like that in my life. Someone who pushes me to be all that God has created me to be. Through thick and thin, even in my worst moments, she has been there for me. When I wanted to run away, she'd come and get me. No, I know Jesus has more for you. Sometimes I didn't want to face the stuff that she was telling me that I had. But she saw more in me than I saw. In fact, If you don't mind, I'd love to read the text that she sent me yesterday because I was struggling. And it says, "You're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think." That was one of them. The other one was, "Know that you were formed by God's hands, dreamed up in his heart, and placed in this world for a purpose." That's going to get you out of the pit, isn't it? And then the third one was, "I am the daughter of a king who is not moved by the world, for my God is with me and God goes before me. I do not fear because I am his." That's the kind of friend to have. I also have a group of people, many groups of people, who do that for me. But the one that I think of that has been the most transformational in my life has been the seminary that I'm involved with, the Master's Institute. Who would have thought that a seminary would be that? But this group of people believes not only in helping you with the head knowledge and the theology to understand all what it means to be a follower of Jesus, but they believe in wholeness. Digging down deep inside of you. We all have stuff. You know we do. But are we willing to look at it? And they do it in such a way that doesn't make you feel shamed or like a bad person. But they believe in you so much that they're willing to stand there with you. We are required to do personal and spiritual growth. We have to create a whole action plan of what we're going to do to deal with the stuff. Not something we always want to do, but I tell you, I would not be where I am today without them. So right in front of Jesus, they bring the paralytic on a mat. Can you imagine Jesus, what he must have thought? He saw their faith. As we see now in the next verses. Let's get my papers here in order. I'm not to that point yet with no notes, but we'll get there someday. I want to be sure we get the word right here. Okay, now in verses 20 through 24, when Jesus saw their faith, so see, they brought him down right in front of Jesus through the roof. And Jesus, what does he say? "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" We see their heart. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Wow. As much as I've read it this week, that still just blows me away. The things that Jesus knew what to say. He saw their faith. Well, there was a general view from the Old Testament that disease was sent by God as a punishment for sin. It was expression of God's wrath. Jesus' love and understanding of the situation, his most important need at the moment, he knew that this man needed wholeness and restoration. Therefore, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." So like our Lord Jesus to do that. He looked at the heart. He knew that wholeness and restoration and the guilt by sin, the thinking that, oh, this must be because I'm a bad person, that I'm like who I am, like this, paralyzed. Jesus knew that he had to have transformation of the heart before he could be restored and healed physically. And Another thing about Jesus, you see, he perceived the hearts of the Pharisees. Interesting, huh? He could perceive that. And back in Luke 2:35, Simeon had actually said that about Jesus, that he was going to be able to perceive what was going on in hearts, that hearts would be revealed. So he addresses it. Another word here that the Pharisees use is blasphemy. That's a big word, but actually what it means slanderous speech of God, a rebellion against God. So because of their criticalness, instead of being able to be open and see all that Jesus, who he was, that he truly was the Messiah, they missed it because it wasn't in their box of how it should be. And so they condemned. And Jesus confronts the heart attitude. He perceives their heart attitude and is confident in addressing the problem of the heart. Our songs this morning seem to have to do with the heart. How interesting. Dave and I didn't even communicate before, but it always seems like we're on the same track. The Lord knew. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, and Jesus is the only one who uses that phrase about himself. And it also comes from a prophecy in Daniel, which we won't go into today, but Daniel had said there would be one like a Son of Man to come who will give authority over all things. It would be a Messiah, the Messiah. That God would set up a kingdom once and for all that would last forever. You and I, we need a heart check. It's scary to do a heart check. Because they want to keep the things the same as they've always been, right? How many of you kind of are like that with me? Because it's really scary to like step out and trust, isn't it? So let's look at now, I love this last part, one of my favorites. I say that a lot about the word, but look what happened in 25 through 26. Immediately, he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Immediately. Not just, oh, well, let me think about it. Immediately he got up and took his mat home, praising God. Everyone was amazed. They were filled with awe. And it says that we have in the people, everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." In the Greek, the word is like paradox. Things that would not happen, that didn't happen, that you didn't expect. So can you imagine all of them going home just praising and glorifying God? We're not going home. We don't know where they were, if they were leaving, but just praising the Lord at that moment. Jesus publicly stood up for things, totally, completely different than anything that was expected to happen. He was radical. I like that about him. That he was willing to stand up for wholeness and transformation and healing. And you know, we, my friends, we have that today as well. We have that available to us. What do you need from Jesus today? I know the Rogers family is going through grieving of their dear husband and father and friend and brother. He's not with them physically any longer. But I know that Harry knew that they had his back. That they, some of them were with him as Jeremy was when he got to go be with Jesus face to face. What which of these groups do you identify with today? Maybe you're stuck in old patterns, old mode of operations. Maybe you need a push from others who believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And you know that I'm honored today to have friends here that I've known for 40 years who did that for me in my 20s. Right over here, the Beelmans and Betty. Do you need someone to help you to believe? Who can you call? Who can you bring to Jesus for transformation and restoration? Here at Radiant, I believe we have each other's backs. I've been in this community now since July, and I know that is the heart of this place that the Lord has designed for us to be a community. That we can do that for each other in love, risking. We push each other to be closer to Jesus, but we also push each other to be all that he has for us. We're stepping out in faith as a community because now we're moving on to a new area. We can be that for each other. Would you pray with me? And Father, we thank you and praise you so much for your word that is the same today as it was yesterday. We thank you for Jesus and his example of what it means to be whole. We thank you, Lord, that you understand our hearts. So I ask you, Lord, today to open our hearts, to break our hearts, so that we might truly receive your restoration and your healing. Most of all, your transformation. That we will walk out of here in awe, praising and glorifying your name. I thank you for each person here, Lord, that you brought today, that you administer to their hearts, that you would show them how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.